Welcome to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. My name is Dan Yassin, and I'm a local anti-war and anti-empire activist. Rich Withers is at the control. Today is July 18, 2018, third Wednesday of the month. Every third Wednesday, I interview authors, scholars, bloggers, columnists, and activists who help us look at our world through the prism of American imperialism. On the show, we talk about U.S. foreign and domestic policies and the actions of the military-industrial congressional security complex. Today, we have Steve Landman on telephone with us. Hello, Steve.
Dan, it's great to be back on with you, and it's certainly a very opportune time and an important time for the issues that you and I like to talk about.
Thank you. Steve Landman is an author, blogger, and internet radio host. After being part of family business for over 30 years, he retired in 1999. After retirement, he decided to devote his time to progressive causes, extensive reading, and since summer of 2005, writing on vital world and national topics, including war and peace, American imperialism, corporate dominance, political persecution, and a range of other social, economic, and political issues. Landman also hosts the Progressive Radio News Hour on the Progressive Radio Network three times weekly. He has authored four books. His website is www.stephenlandman.org. The backlash from the mainstream media to Trump-Putin summit has been worse than I imagined. It seems that the deep state is hell-bent on a confrontation with Russia. You have been blogging about the summit for the last few days. You posted about four blogs earlier today. Let's start with Raging Russophobia in America. In this blog, you compared the current Russophobia with McCarthyism of the 1950s. Tell us about that.
Well, I certainly remember that very well, Dan, and I remember George Kennan, and I remember the Truman Doctrine, and I grew up with this stuff, and I never remember anything approaching the intensity and outrageousness of the stuff going on now. I think McCarthy certainly was not small time. He hurt an awful lot of people with his egregious policies. And I watched in 1954, I watched in June of that year, the Army-McCarthy hearings that proved to be McCarthy's downfall. Well, I don't see anything in prospect now to bring down the deep state today. It's a lot more than a Joe McCarthy. It's practically the entire Congress, Dan, as you know, and I think your listeners know. I mean, virtually the entire Congress, when it comes to voting anything about Russia, it's near, not entirely unanimous, but it's near unanimous. Maybe a couple of votes here or there going the other way, or maybe abstaining or not showing up on the day of the vote. But basically, the entire Congress is so incredibly hostile to Russia that it doesn't matter what. You could, my goodness, you could have St. Peter sitting in the White House, or the equivalent of someone of that stature. And it simply wouldn't make any difference. The president is powerless in the face of nearly 535 congressional members, probably the entire Supreme Court, maybe an exception or two, but almost the whole court, and the American media. Good Lord. I call them media scoundrels, Dan, as you know, for good reason. I mean, that's what they are. Outrageous. There's nothing legitimate about what they do. And the New York Times, to me, is the worst of the bunch. Why? Because it has global reach, it's the best known, and whatever appears on its front page usually resonates around the world, especially the big issues, Russia, Trump, you name it, war and peace. What can I say, Dan?
In another blog, Congressional Shame Over Putin-Trump Summit, you quote some congressmen and their despicable remarks. Give us some examples.
I didn't bring up the quotes directly, but I remember quoting John McCain. My God, I mean, the guy is dying of brain cancer. He literally could die before this program ends. Who knows? But he's in terrible shape. And yet he mustered enough strength to put out just an outrageous comment about the Trump summit. I said his exact words, but it basically accused Trump of treason or whatever, the most despicable act the president has done in his lifetime, words to that effect, just disgraceful remarks. And from the Speaker of the House, from the majority and minority leaders of the House and Senate, outrageous remarks, one after another. These people raging about the idea that America should dare try having improved relations with Russia and Vladimir Putin, especially. Just outrageous stuff, Dan. You know, what do you make of this? The idea of improving, of having improved relations with Russia is equated with treason in America. And I would say that if Trump simply disregarded it all and went ahead full bore and had another summit with Putin, continued cordial relations, really trying to go all out to have good relations with Russia and avoid a war with Russia, I would say he would be impeached, and for the first time, there were two other U.S. presidents impeached. No president, U.S. president, was ever removed from office by impeachment. None. Nixon left on his own. He would have been impeached and removed had he not left, and that never should have happened. And Andrew Johnson, in the middle of the 19th century, he was impeached but not removed. Trump would be the first one impeached and removed if he did pursuing this agenda to improve relations with Russia.
Sad day in America. The mainstream media is really shameless. Russian alleged hacking of DNC email is now compared with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. I mean, how far will they go to bring our world to a nuclear confrontation?
Well, I worried about that for a very long time, Dan. I think the chances were greatly diminished back around March when Putin announced a number of the super weapons that Russia has. It really was a game changer, and I believe it's all true. A lot of them have already been developed and could be deployed. Maybe they are deployed, and there were a few others that were in development that would be ready in the months or maybe a couple of years ahead. The kind of stuff that America does not have, and I think more than anyone else in America, the Pentagon war planners and warmongers, they're the ones who know it best. There's only one superpower left in the world today, and that's Russia, way outdoing America. So if America did attack Russia, it would have its head handed to them. Unfortunately, Dan, humanity would have its head handed to it as well. It would be the end of all of us. But that greatly diminished the possibility of a nuclear war or any kind of a military confrontation with Russia that would risk a nuclear war. But the possibility still exists that there are crazies infesting Washington, Republicans and what I call undemocratic Dems. This isn't new. This goes back to much earlier times in America. Right after World War II, there were crazies in America who thought the Soviet Union was so weak, this was our chance to nuke them and get rid of them entirely. I mean, there were people who espoused that sentiment. I remember quoting Jack Kennedy after a national security meeting, and his words, something to the effect, he ended up saying, he walked out of a security meeting because this was recommended as a policy to go after Russia this way in the early 1960s. Kennedy was assassinated in November 1963, so this was between 61 and early 63. And he ended saying, "And we call quote, and we call ourselves the human race." We've got the same kind of crazies around today, maybe even worse than back in those days, but we don't have a Jack Kennedy in the White House. We have a Trump in the White House. Before that, we had an Obama and a Bush Cheney and what I call the Clinton co-presidency.
In another blog today, Fox News interviews Vladimir Putin. You wrote about Chris Wallace's interview. Since this got such a little coverage and rest of the media, give us a little summary of that interview.
Well, the little I saw in the major media, Dan, was turning truth on its head, saying the host Chris Wallace made a monkey out of Vladimir Putin. Well, I mean, I wrote about the interview. I read it from beginning to end, and I would say categorically, Putin made a monkey out of Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace is a good interviewer. He was polite. I'll give him a credit for that. He was polite. He wasn't a raging maniac like so many appearing on the cable channels, especially. He was very polite, and he knew his stuff. He had his outline prepared to ask the questions he wanted. But Putin really commanded the interview, and he got asked the question, and he wanted to give a complete answer, which he did. The one thing Wallace did that was a little offensive, and Putin simply brushed it aside, saying, "Let me go on." He kept interrupting Putin. He said, "Let me go on. Let me finish my comment, and then you can ask whatever you want." But Putin really made a monkey out of Chris Wallace. Putin is a master chess player. He handled himself very well, and he refused to take any comments from Chris Wallace or from anyone else, without coming back and explaining exactly what he means and the truths that he believes are the way things are. And he did it very, very well.
Trump has been a terrible president so far. His belligerence toward Iran, increasing military expenditure, continuation of Bush and Obama wars. There is a lot that can be and should be criticized about Trump. But his willingness to talk with Kim Jong-un of North Korea and Putin needs to be commended. Why can mainstream media and U.S. Congress see that talking with your opponent is a good thing, not a bad thing?
Well, Dan, I certainly agree with you on that. The idea of a summit with Kim and with Vladimir Putin, good policies. Before he was inaugurated in office, even a little bit after he came into office, I said his only redeeming quality was he wasn't Hillary Clinton. Well, now I will add to that the fact that he had a summit with Kim and with Putin. Certainly, those were very admirable, important things to do. Again, the only problem about them, Dan, is it doesn't really matter what he does or what he believes. Even these good things, he's got the entire Congress against him almost, and the media against him. So they'll override him and just prevent anything good happening. I think the Korean summit, whatever good came out of it, I think a lot of it is disintegrating. When Pompeo went back to Pyongyang, he made outrageous demands for the Korean officials he spoke to, and they simply won't go along with this. I really believe they will denuclearize, provided they get what they want in return. And the main thing they want is security. That's the main thing any country wants. I mean, it really wants it guaranteed, which is very hard to get it from America. I think Kim could get it from Russia and from China, but you got to get it from America, because no matter what Russia and China will do, Russia and China will not go to war if America breaks an agreement with North Korea. So North Korea needs it from America. To me, that's an unattainable objective. So I think the agreement will fall apart in the end. It's already weakening already, and I think nothing will come of Trump talks with Vladimir Putin, because the deep state won't tolerate it. America needs enemies, Dan. The mm-hmm. only way it can justify its outrageous military spending, its endless wars of aggression, is it has to convince the public there are enemies America is protecting the people from. So it drums that idea into its head, into the collective head of the U.S. public, by inventing enemies: Russia, North Korea, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and so on. And most people, sadly, believe this stuff, because if they follow the major media, they hear nothing else. If they go to the alternative media, which I think growing numbers are doing, they hear the truth. But we need more than just enough. We need a big majority, and even more than that, Dan, we need people knowing the truth and being willing to do something about it. And I've said a number of times, the only solution in America is a nonviolent revolution. Simply enough people not willing to tolerate the outrages going on. Because with each new administration in America, Dan, I say unequivocally, things are getting worse and worse and worse. We have tyranny heading for becoming full-blown if the public stays indifferent, because they'll keep believing that all this stuff going on is really doing to help them stay secure. And, of course, that's a lot of rubbish.
You're listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. We are speaking with Steve Landman, author, blogger, and radio talk show host. In their post summit press conference, both Trump and Putin mentioned other issues that were discussed: Syria, Iran, North Korea, Ukraine. But I did not hear any mention in the media of any issue except Russia meddling into our election. What do you think that is? I mean, there were so many things that they talked about.
Well, I think I'm not certain there was any agreement on some of these other issues. We know where Trump stands on Iran, and of course we know that America launched naked aggression against Syria using ISIS and other terrorists as imperial foot soldiers back in March 2011. So the war is in its eighth year. Our U.S. troops occupy northeast and southwestern Syria. We know all of that. I guess the issue of Trump's cordiality with Putin was the glaring one the media wanted to jump on, because they can never say a word harsh enough about Russia and about Putin. So that dominated the discussion in the media. I can't bear to listen to or watch any of it, Dan. I pick up the comments by reading them and then commenting on them with the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal once in a while, some of the other media. And when it gets to be too many, I'll just quote a lot of headlines, which I did in a number of articles. But they all sound like they're reading from the exact same script. Like one individual wrote the script, and all of the media published the same thing. No individual thinking at all among the print and electronic media. They all say the same thing when it comes to Russia. And again, jumping on the idea that Trump would dare wanting to have improved relations with Russia, that's a no-no. That really is a no-no, because if America does not have a Russian enemy, it takes a lot of starch out of the imperial campaign to keep waging it. So I mean, it needs a Chinese enemy, it needs an Afghan enemy, it needs all of these other enemies. But the one rising above all the others is Russia. So it's just untenable that any U.S. president would ever want to have good relations with Russia. That would destroy a big part of the imperial agenda. The rationale for it, Dan.
Yep. You're listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. Since the end of World War II and the beginning of the First Cold War, U.S. presidents met regularly with the Soviet leaders. I mean, you have observed, lived through all of these things, and you know that the history very well. Can you remember any U.S. president maligned as much as Trump just for meeting with the leader of a country that has as many nukes as we do?
Well, I honestly don't remember the media reports back then, Dan. And during World War II and the immediate aftermath, we had no television. Television came around in the late 1940s, and my folks didn't have a television set until I was a sophomore in high school, so we had to rely on radio. When I was a boy growing up, I had more interest in listening to Superman and Captain Midnight than following the events of World War II. My dad, when he came home from work in the evening, wanted to hear the news about World War II, and I simply wanted to hear Superman and all the rest of the daily serials that were on U.S. radio back then. But I can't remember any demeaning of a U.S. leader for getting together with the leader of another country. And my God, I mean, Putin compared to Stalin? I mean, Roosevelt got together with Stalin in Yalta, in Potsdam. I think there was a third summit meeting as well. Mm-hmm. Winston Churchill there along with them. Those were important summits deciding on the fate of the world post-World War II. I don't remember. I didn't really read the media that closely. I read the paper every day, mostly the sports section and the funnies rather than the news. But the little news that I picked up when I was very young, when the war ended, I was 11 years old, so I certainly wasn't piped in the way I am now. But I never remember anything during the war or in the aftermath when I was in high school or even later of the media demeaning a U.S. president for wanting to get together with the leader of any other country.
Yeah.
I never remember any of that then.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I have, of course, was not in this country at that time, but I have read the history quite a bit, and I can recollect any thing from my reading that it happened. Let's talk about, you had mentioned earlier that the deep state, the military-industrial complex need an enemy. If we look at since World War II and beginning of the First Cold War, the creation of the CIA, so we started the Cold War and demonized Soviet Union that it wants to take over the world while we were doing that. So that was our enemy, but all of a sudden, in 1991, Soviet Union collapsed, so we didn't have an enemy, so it took us a few years to create Islamic fundamentalism, and that lasted and got a boost after 9/11, and that lasted for many years. So Russia was around from 1991 under Yeltsin, and of course it was not our enemy because we were doing our best to loot Russia and work with the oligarchs there, and we did turn into almost close to a third world country. And then Putin came onto the scene in 1999, and he worked basically behind the scene to develop Russia. And he was not an enemy then, and he even offered to help after 9/11, and he was not an enemy until we come to end of 2013 and Ukraine, and followed by Crimea, and all of a sudden Russia, Putin are the enemy du jour, and they have been for the last 4 years now. So that's what the deep state and military industrial complex want, and it's continued under Obama, but it's Trump's misfortune that he decided to talk to Putin, and he will never be, as you said earlier in your program, forgiven for that. So that's basically the reason we have. So let's talk about Ukraine and Crimea. What is wrong with the narrative that the mainstream media has been giving us about Ukraine?
Well, as far as Ukraine in general goes, Dan, there never was, and I doubt there ever will be, probably in my lifetime at least, any quote-unquote Russian aggression in Ukraine. It did not happen. In the end of 2013 up until mid-February 2014, Victoria Nuland, the infamous Victoria Nuland, who used to work for Dick Cheney before she worked for Obama as the Undersecretary of State for that part of the world, she spent a lot of time in Kiev, and she was the key orchestrator of the U.S. coup d'etat, eliminating democracy. It wasn't a good democracy, but it was a democracy in Ukraine, and replacing it with Nazi-infested fascist extremism, what I call putschist government. The government of Ukraine is illegitimate. It was appointed the President Petro Poroshenko, a so-called chocolate king, a billionaire businessman. He wasn't elected. He was appointed, or as I say, anointed by Washington to be the leader of Ukraine. Russia did not annex Crimea, another one of the many big lies. There was a referendum monitored by international observers who called the referendum open, free, and fair, and roughly 95-96% of Crimeans, with a massive turnout, I forget the exact percentage, it might have been a 90% turnout, about 95% of Crimeans voted, I think in their mind, to correct a historic mistake that Nikita Khrushchev made in 1954 by giving Crimea, which was part of Ukraine then, giving it to Ukraine rather than keeping it as part of Soviet Russia. And the Crimean voters did not want to live under fascism governed by Kiev. They wanted the historic mistake corrected. They wanted to rejoin Russia. Putin simply accommodated their wishes. There was no annexation.
Yes, and that's what we are told over and over again, that Russia invaded Crimea. I mean, there was not a single shot fired, and as you described, it was a referendum that they decided to go back. But the anti-Russia hysteria has been continuing since that time, and you know what happened in UK with Salisbury and Amesbury, those incidents. You want to say something about that?
Oh, indeed. The Skripal incident and the other two individuals, the Skripal incident in March of this year, and then in early July, the incident involving a man and a woman. One of them, spent last name was Sturgis. I forget the other one. And the woman died, mm-hmm. and the man apparently he was unconscious, but he regained consciousness. The Skripals are alive and well, and been out of the hospital for quite some time now. And it was impossible that any of these people were affected by a Novichok or other type nerve agent, military or otherwise, and Putin explained it well. I heard him explain it a couple of times. I think I read his comments a couple of times, and it's true. I think experts have said this, that if they were, if anyone was affected by a nerve agent like this, just a minuscule drop of it, they would be dead in minutes. And a Novichok and anything as toxic has no known antidote. So how do three of the four survive? I don't know what harmed them, but it wasn't a nerve agent. It wasn't a Novichok nerve agent. And whoever was responsible for this, it certainly was not Russia. What possible motive would Russia have to harm anybody in Britain, especially the people harmed? There's no conceivable motive that Russia could have had. Aha, there's a great motive that America and Britain had to harm these people to be able to blame it on Russia, and I'm convinced that's exactly what happened. Blame Washington, blame the UK. I don't think Trump had anything to do with this. I think the CIA and Britain's MI6, I think they're the ones who pulled off these two stunts, and unfortunately these four people suffered egregiously. One of them died, and how well the others will do long-term because of what they went through, who knows, Dan?
In today's America, detente is bad, nuclear confrontation is good. It is not treason to question the assessment of the three most wonderful institutions, CIA, NSA, and the FBI. Trump is a traitor, and because he wants to question that. So just in another minute or so, give us your final assessment.
Well, I think the CIA, FBI, NSA, and the rest of the U.S. intelligence community, I could paraphrase Chalmers Johnson, the late Chalmers Johnson, who used to work as a consultant for the CIA. He called himself a spear carrier for the empire, but he got religion later on, and he said he made very harsh comments about the CIA. He could have said the same thing about
Steve,
any part of the U.S.
Steve, we have run out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
You've been listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on KFCF 88.1, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. This is Dan Yassin. Until next time, thank you for listening.